Good morning, brothers and sisters. I greet you in Jesus' name this morning. The one that deserves to be worshipped and praised and glorified in many ways. The blessings that he did, blessings that he extolled upon us and how he blessed us with. So let's give him praise today. I just want to comment a little on Josh's message. Appreciated that, Josh. Talked about not, you know, how influence will influence others. And the scripture says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. And there's influence over time. And it will. It seemed like evil has a greater tendency to influence over godliness. And why? I don't know. But not always. I'm saying it has more tendency to work that way. A while back, there was just briefly here, there was a young man that asked for a courtship with another lady, and she had a little different doctrine what he did, and what the family had, and what the church had. But they were spending time together, and it looked like it wasn't gonna stop the courtship. So they prayed about it, and prayed, they come to a conclusion. Okay, we'll let him court his. Maybe he can influence her, you know, to the way they believe, to the way that is scriptural. And so they left it happen in a matter of time. She did influence him in her doctrine, and the fellowship is really hurting. And they see they made a mistake, and they repented from it. So that's why I said it seemed like a lot of times that has more influence and more effectiveness than godliness. Why? I don't know. But yeah, thank you, Brother Josh. But today, I have a message I'd like to share. It's not a long one. And it was sort of a hard one to... God laid the message on my heart as I was reading through this chapter here. The title, Do All to the Glory of God. And I want to preach a message on that. Whatever we do, that we would do to the glory of God. Whatever it may be, in our work life, in our everyday life, church life, home as a family, God expects that from us. Whatever we do, it would be for His glory. And I'll expound on it later on. And this is, it's just not individual here message. I also involved here as a body, how we as a body can walk together and bring glory to God. And it does glorify God when we come together in unity and in oneness and harmony and lift up the praises to God. That does glorify Him. So, but it was sort of a challenge for me to come up with this whole message for some reason. But if nothing else, if you don't get anything else from this message, hear my heart that whatever we do, it will be for the glory of God. And what a difference it will make in a person's life, or in a church body, or wherever it may be. If we have a heart, whatever we do, it is for His glory. Not my glory, not for myself, but for the glory of God. So if you don't get anything else from this message, just hear that from me this morning. I ask you. Because God deserves, it's God that deserves the praise and the glory. Before I start here, I was just pondering upon some of that. Just a few verses here, how these angels lifted up and they praised and they glorified God. If I can remember where I read that at here this morning. Here we go. Revelations. It says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and it shall reign forever and ever. Here the 24 the 20 elders, which sat before God on their seats. They were sitting there around the throne, and they fell upon their faces, and they worshiped God, saying, we give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was, and art to come, because thou hast taken thy great power and has reigned. And there they were sitting around the throne. They fell on their knees and they worshiped God. It says night and day. Revelation 19 says, and after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For the true and the righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which he did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and had avenged the blood of the servants on her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. Here the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down again and worshiped God, that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, and all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both great and small. So just a few of those verses here this morning. And that should be our hearts as well. Worshiping, praising God. Giving him all the glory. Do all to the glory of God, whatever we may do. Okay, before I start, let's have a word of prayer and I'll begin. Eternal Father, as we do bow here this morning, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just to sit here or be here, Lord, with the brothers and sisters. God, I do just praise you for that today, Lord, that we have brothers and sisters in Christ where we can come together and connect hearts and sing together, share your praises, Lord, together in songs and worship. God, I thank you that we can, Lord, that we were set free from the bondages of sin that we were once in. God, I thank you for that. But today, Lord, I just pray that you would just anoint this message, Lord, and just bring it forth where you can be glorified and where you can be praised today, Lord. Because you deserve it, Lord. It's not anyone else, but God, the one that gives us life. The one just not gives breath, but yet he gives eternal life. He gives us an eternal place to spend our life after this life here on earth. And that is of sitting around the throne that is in heaven. Oh, God, we thank you for that. We just want to turn this, commit this time to you, Lord, and ask you to bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we can turn to 1 Corinthians 11 is where this here message formed from here. Do all to the glory of God. Starting on verse 23. And we know that to do all unto the glory of God, there needs to be a change. There needs to be a new heart in a person. Before all what we do, be glorifying to God, because God wants hearts that's been denied of sinful things and been renewed by the Spirit of God. So this is a message on for the believers here today. Let's read through this, and I know that part of this here is talking about some meats, and I'll explain on that a little bit here as I go through. Verse 23 in Corinthians 11, I'm sorry, 10, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man's another's wealth. Whatever is sold in the shambles that eat, ask ye no questions for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and be ye disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no questions for conscience' sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in the sacrifices to idols, eat not for the sake of that showed it, and for the conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thy own, but of other. For why is my liberty judge of another man's conscience? For if by grace be partakers, why am I evil spoken for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor the Gentiles, nor the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. As Paul was saying, whatever you do, do it in the glory of God. And what would that look like today if this body or individual would do nothing but that? And I say that because I know that not everything I do at times. There is times that not everything I do is probably for the glory of God. And I repent of that. But what would that look like here in a body if all of us would do whatever we do, it would be for the glory of God? What changing effects that would bring to the group of believers and to the body of this believers and many other groups. As verse 23, Paul says that many things I would have a problem doing. I wouldn't have a problem doing. He could do it. But he said, I would not do it because it's not expedient. It's not helpful for the body. And not in all things edify not, as it says there in verse 23. So he would be free. He would be free to do a great thing. He would be free to eat this meat that they were talking about here as well. But just for the conscience sake, for those that give it, and for his conscience, he didn't do it. And we know, as I shared about this meat thing here, and we could put them examples into many thousand different things as in a body, in a group of believers here. Not doing things to offend a brother, doing something that you know that the brother doesn't agree with, it does not bring glory to God. And that's what Paul was saying here in verses 27, 28, and 29. He wouldn't do those things. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And we know, as I shared before, to bring glory to God, of course, we need to do what it says in Matthew 6. Is we need to seek you first the kingdom of God. And I shared that before, that we need to be born again of the Spirit of God. And if we do these, all these things should be added unto us. Then verse 24, he says, let not man seek his own, but every man's another wealth. And we know to the world, this is upside down kingdom when a child of God takes this verse and lives it out. So the world is about themselves. It's like, just give it to me. They want to gain all they can gain. I would like to have this, and I'd like to have that. Or look at me or my fashions, or getting attention of their own. On their hair, the clothes, the cars, and trucks, and houses, and lands, and possessions. The world makes sure that they're taken care of, and the needs are taken care of first. And if they have any time or money, then maybe they can. But, you know, that's what I'm speaking, far as in giving God all the glory, you can. I mean, all the things that I mentioned there, he can receive the glory. How we do our hair, or clothes, or the cars that we drive, or the trucks that we drive, or the houses, the lands, and possession. God can have all the glory in all that, and from a pure heart. And he wants to receive all the glory. We will not be about ourselves, as it says in 24. But it'll be about others' wealth. The wealth is in well-being. So we'll care about others' needs. It's not about myself. The kingdom of God is not about me. It's about others. The verse 20, 31, 32, and 33 here before I move on to this chapter. God wants the glory from our lives in all things that pertaineth to our life, whatever it may be. We're healthy this morning. Are we giving God praise for that? Are we glorifying God for that? Or do we just say, I eat healthy. That is why I'm healthy. Are we praising God for our families, my wife, my children? And for the most important, are we praising God this morning? Are we glorifying Him for our salvation? Or do we just take this for granted? 15 years ago, I got born again about 14 years ago. Am I still lifting up and exalting God for the great work that He has done in my life? Am I living a life that's still glorifying Him as it did 15 years ago? Or do we just take, as we walk on, do we take things for granted? God doesn't want us to forget where we've been purged from, where He has brought us from. And I wrote in here, as I said, I'm going to bring this into the body. That is how God can take a body and be glorified, a body of believers. And I wrote, are we praising the Lord? Are we glorifying the God for the brothers and sisters in here? Do we praise Jesus for them? Not just for five or six or half of them, Or are we praising God for each and every one of us in here? Maybe we can't because he's not like me or you. Maybe he thinks a little bit differently. But even if there is a legal concern or legal difference in between us, we still need that right love for one another so God can be glorified. Because it says, for the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we are Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, have been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not in the eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members of every one of them in body as it had pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more than these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble or necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacketh. And it says there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. For all the members be honored, all the members rejoice. I think of that, you know, for God. And I know that with all that said, I realize that there are some differences that rise up in the body. But here in 25, Paul does say that there should be no schism in the body, but the members have the same care one for another. And I took that care is have the same love one for another in the body, so where God can be lifted up and exalted and praised. So where God can be glorified. And it can be. Then it says in verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffered with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. In verse 26, I was challenged with that as well. When was the last time we've seen a member suffer? Maybe a member struggle, and maybe in a doctrine that you don't see. Maybe you don't understand that way. And we took a few days and fasted and prayed for that family. That would glorify God. That would be glorifying to him. And I believe that as for a body to walk together where God can be glorified, I believe, I'm sharing these things, I believe these things need to happen where the glorification can come from this body. And we know, as we see, and we heard from testimonies of other churches that went through struggles. And there's many, and we have to admit, the churches in America are being attacked by Satan throughout the land. Everywhere. We hear it from brother churches. But we heard some churches where God did a great work, and they come together in one mind, one accord. And how God was again, how God is again being glorified. There's born again experiences, and there's conversions happening, and many great things. I believe that these things need to be there to God to be glorified in a body. So that just challenged me. When was the last time? Maybe a brother has a difference. It's easier for us just to maybe talk to another brother about his difference and about how where he's at, and it shouldn't be, other than spending time in days praying and fasting for the brother that would glorify God. In Thessalonians 2, it said that we would walk worthy of God who had called you into his kingdom and glory. That we would walk worthy of God, because he has called us into his kingdom and glory, and that we would find ourselves doing all things for the glory of God. Verse 13 says, for this cause also that we thank God without ceasing, Because when you receive the word of God, which you have heard of us, and received it not of the word of men, but as it is in the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. In 1 Thessalonians 5 here, I'm just going to read some verses. Here as Paul exhorts the brethren, here in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. Starting on 12, I'm just going to read on through 28. I wouldn't have to explain any of these verses here. But as Paul exhorts the brethren, if Paul would be here today, he would exhort us in the same manner as he did here in Thessalonica, in Thessalonians here. He says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and who are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and to be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever following that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless into the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord, and that the epistle be read unto the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." As Paul exhorting, I was just blessed to read through that. Just in the first few verses, we're talking about attack in America, or attack here in the churches. And Paul exhorted them that you would know them that which labor among you, that are over you in the Lord. And he's talking about the elders and the pastors, not the deacons. He's talking about the elders and the pastors, that you would know them that which labor in love and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, that built you up. And to esteem, he said, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. To esteem them, lift them up. And yet, in the churches, is where the attack is at. I think that authority is being attacked in many of the churches we were familiar with. Many of those the authorities, the pastors, elders, are stepping down because they're not seeing a need to be there, because they don't see the brotherhood has a need of leaders. But here Paul exhorts them back to 2,000 years ago, which, you know, as we have leaders and elders in here, the pastors, we know that they are in the flesh. They're going to probably make, they're not going to be perfect in all areas of life. And again, I'm not talking about sinful things. Yeah, sinful things that need to be admonished. But here, he says, esteem them and very highly in love for their work's sake. And it can be a challenge. But Paul admonishes us. And I think that it's a blessing that we do. If we want glory to come from the body, it needs to come down from the elders and the pastors, funnel on down through the fellowship, where God can be glorified as they lead out. Then in verse 14, as I talked about earlier, there is a way to exhort. As I talked about, there's differences, you know, about having that oneness. And this is where the brothers, he said, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. And there is a way to warn the ungodly, the feeble-minded, those that are out, are walking in a different way, or walking away from God. There is a way to warn them where it can bring glory to God. And the scripture is full of that warning and sharing or preaching to the unruly. So it can be done, but I believe it needs to be done in the heart of God, and that's where God is glorified. And I believe that it starts with starts with each and every one of us. And I just want to share a little instant here, just in my heart, how God smote my heart this week. This week we went to visit a family in another area, which was a bishop, Amish bishop. As we went there and shared, and there was great darkness there, but he was very friendly. He invited us in, and we went in for almost 2 hours, and we had a lot of good conversations. But I seen great darkness there, the lack of understanding. That verse that comes to me, the blind leading the blind, it came alive to me. But as we left there, we found ourselves praying, God, you need to do a work in that heart, in that family's heart, Lord. You need to. And which is good and right. I think it's good that we have a burden for that. But as I heard a brother share the other day, before he said, how about before we pray that? I didn't even share the instance that we were at, of what we were in this week. But he said, before we go and share the burden or the share our hearts with another and pray that way, he said, he thinks it'd be a blessing that we stop and we ask God, God, do a work in my life. Can you do a deeper work in my life so that those people that I go share with or witness to, that they can see that deep love, compassion, richly Christ showing forth for me. He says that's a blessing. He found that to be a blessing every time he goes, that he asked God first to do a deeper work in his life. And I was challenged by that. Where it can be, where they can see that we're in deeply love with Christ. They can see that we're true, honest, devout ourselves. It will speak loudly. And yet, he did share, he also knows that there's, yes, there is, it is very important that we go and share and talk and to exhort them, the unruly and all that. But he says we need to go with a heart that is full of compassion, and that they can see that Christ is richly within us, showing forth from us, loving, caring. And I had to repent of that. And I cried out to the Lord after that. The Lord, that's what I want to be. I want you first to do a deeper work in my heart, where you can be glorified through my life, where it can reach out to others. And we know that is powerful, because it spoke to me in many areas when I was searching the Word of God. And when I seen people that was devout, truly true Christians that loved the Lord, that had compassion, it took me back 15 years ago, and that was instrumental in my life. It did a great work. So that just challenged me. So let's keep that in mind, that let's have God to do a deeper work in our life, where he can be glorified in our lives, and he will use that glorification to work into others' hearts, as he did me, pointing them to Jesus so they can be glorified. In 2 Corinthians 10, a few verses here. Not sure where this here came in at in my message here, but some reason I have it written down. But it says, and I think we also, maybe the reason my thought was when I wrote this down, is sometimes as we go and minister into a family that has great needs, and we forget maybe the needs in our life first. But even though maybe we're not a drunkard, or we're not a liar, or maybe we're not a fornicator and all that, but we maybe compare ourselves to that man and justify ourselves through that. Maybe that's where I'm at here. Let's start in verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves in that number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measure themselves by themselves, and compare themselves among themselves are not wise. But we were not boast of the things without measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God has distributed to us, a measure to reach even into you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond measure, as though we reached not into you. For we are come as far as you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things which are at our measure, that is, or other man's labor, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our own rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in regions beyond you, and not to boast another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Okay, yes, so amen. So when we do those things, we're doing it for the glory of God. And that is part of my message. Whatever we do it for the glorification of the Lord. And that's what he says. For the Lord, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord. It's the Lord whom he draws. And we have to admit, the flesh of us likes to be recognized in great things that we have done, or we like to take glory for it at times. And we know when Herod, when he was on the throne there, and men started praising, say, this is not of man, but this is of God. And it says, he give not God the glory. What happened? God struck him. God struck him dead. So may God receive the glory from our lives. And whatever we do, do in the honor, do in the glory of God. As Paul said here, he says, Paul glories in the cross here. He says, you have seen how a letter I have written into you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to the rule of peace be on them, and mercy upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear my body in marks of the Lord Jesus. And that's what Paul's saying. He doesn't glory in any other thing except for Jesus Christ, the cross of Christ, the one that redeemed us, the one that gave us life, that saved us from our sins, and saved us from that miry muck. Paul says he's one that deserves the glory and honor. And as I was sharing with that young man, that bishop, and he just says, you know, well, you know, when you start saying that that you're saved, he says, you know, that's, he related to, is that boasting? And I just shared, no. I said, when you look to see what Christ has done in our life, what he willingly done, not for his sake, but for our sake, and he did it gladly. I said, he died so that we could live. How can you boast in something like that? I said, it's him that deserves the glory. It's not me. It's the work that Christ has done to me. I said, it humbles me because he had to come to die. He said, he stepped away from the throne where he was around experiencing the greatness of God and the greatness and, this, and hearing those singing around the throne. He stepped away from there into this sin-sick world, the sinful nature of man, and he came and give life to all those that desire have life. And he died, and I said, "How can you glory in that?" And he just shook his head. So it is in everything that we do, everything that we say, may it be for the glory of God. As Paul said there in the Corinthians church, he would say to us as well. He says, for I am jealous over thee with godly jealousy, for I have exposed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin in Christ. And that would be Paul's heart today as well. The jealousy he has for this body. As he exposed you to one husband, Paul says that I may present you as a chaste virgin in Christ. May we live a life in all areas of life that God may be exalted and glorified to the highest. And Jesus says there in John, he says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And we see the heart of Jesus here. He was willing to do whatever the Father asked him to do. And we realize he came in the flesh. He was in the flesh and he felt every stripe, every beating that he took. But yet he was willing to do everything so that his Father would be glorified. And I wrote, are we willing as well to open ourselves up in that way? Asking God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? so that you may be glorified. It's a thing that challenged me. Am I willing in all aspects of my life? And I wake up in the morning asking God, where do you want me to today? How do you want me to be used today, Lord? So that you may be glorified. In John, Matthew 5, it says, neither do men put a candle and put it under a bushel or a candlestick and giveth light to all that are in the house. Jesus says, so let your light so shine before men that you may see your good, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And that is the heart of God for us today, that we would let our light so shine before these men. And we have a lot of darkness around us. But if they're looking at your lives and they don't see that light shining, God is not being glorified. God says, Jesus says, when I'm lifted up, he said, I will draw all men to the Father. So let's, and I know that we're doing this. This is just a word just encouraging us and me as well. Some days as we go about ourselves, we have to admit, we get busy. And we have a lot of interaction with several different men. And sometimes, These instances come and these meetings come, and we don't even think about sharing the love of God to them because we get too caught up in the business of life. And then I just wrote, God forbid. I don't want that. I want whatever I do to do all in the glory of God. Even when I go to work, it's more than just making money. It's more than just supplying for my family. Yes, we can glorify God in that, going to work. We need to because he expects us to work. But just not going, setting our mind to get filthy rich or to make all we can, but use the hours throughout the day that God give us to go to work for a family, provide for a family. We would use it to share the love of God so that he could be glorified. So the key verses to that, so how... What must happen? And I just took here in John 12. That I'm going to read a few verses. It says here, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. It bringeth forth much fruit. But if it die, it bringeth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life and his world shall keep it into life eternal. If any man love me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also be my servant. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father. As Jesus says, Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause I came into this world. But he says, but I know, but for this cause I came into this world. And Father, glorify thy name. And that's some of Jesus' not last words, but he says, Jesus, or Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, and it was God. He said, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again. And he can still use us to glorify his name today in all aspects, whatever it may be. And he wants to. He wants to be glorified. And it is his heart that all men come to repentance. All men that would fall on their knees and cry out on the Lord Jesus Christ. But for that happens, it says there we must die to self. As we read that verse, we're not about ourselves. It's about others. The kingdom of God is about others. And as seen here, just by Jesus willing to do the will of the Father, God was lifted up and glorified. So, let's find ourselves into the will of God, in God's will, so that he can be glorified in our life, and we would glorify him through our life. As David here in Psalms, blessed with some of these verses here is David. He says, among the gods there is none like you, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nation whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and dost wonderful things. Art thou God alone? And David says, teach me the way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O Lord, I mean, O God, thou, the proud are risen against me, and the cymbals are violent. Men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before men. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. And that was just a blessing to read through that, as David found a praise here to God, as he was glorifying God. And David did. We know that some of these men that went through some of the greatest struggles, greatest trials, Paul and John, as they were sitting in prison, and they were beaten and put in stocks. And they probably were going to be killed the next day, and they knew that. But yet, with them there in these stocks and being beaten, what did they do? They lifted up God in praise through song. They glorified God. And God opened up the prison and took them out and used them for several more years yet. And the Lord wants to use us in the same way. In Isaiah 24, wherefore, glorify ye the Lord in the fires. That's what it comes to. Even in the trials, may we glorify the Lord. Even the name of the Lord of God of Israel in the isles of the sea. The uttermost parts of the earth have we heard songs, even glory to the righteous. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yeah, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. Fear and the pit and the snare upon thee, O inhabitants of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he who flees from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. I was going to stop it there at 15, but where it says, wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea. Wherever you may be, may God receive the glory and honor. John 15 says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And so we see here, as Jesus says here, that the Father is glorified when we are his disciple, when we are his true disciples, when we bear much fruit. He says, be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. In John 17, these words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he shall give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God of Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Jesus says, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given to me. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with a glory which I had with thee before the world was. And he's talking about the time that he spent with God before he came. I have manifested my name unto the men which thou hast given me out of this world. Thine they were, thou givest them to me, that they may keep the word. In John 21, I'm going to close here in a little bit. In John 21, another few verses here. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, whence thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, he's talking about the death of Peter here, as he's telling Peter, feed my sheep. But when thou be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whether thou wouldest not. And this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. And that is signifying, if we want to glorify God, as he told Peter, follow me. He says, even though you're going to lose your life, you're going to die. He told him how he's going to die. He said, but it will glorify God. So we also need to, as he said, follow me. We need to follow God in that way, no matter where it takes us or where it leads us. If we're following God, we will glorify him in our lives. So I just want to close here and turn to 2 Thessalonians 2, just for encouragement for the body. Here, this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm just going to read that chapter there. As Paul read here to the church, he says, starting on verse 1, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto you, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of the Christ is at hand." And as Paul told the church, he would tell us again, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, and the son of perdition." And we see, as the churches are being attacked, and there are many that are being deceived, and walking away, just not from the churches, but walking away from Christ altogether. "Who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he, as God, sitteth on the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now you know that withholdeth, that ye might be revealed in his time, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the work of Satan, who all power and sign and lying wonders, and with all the deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God sends strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But, Paul says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and hope and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work, in every good word and work." And the next one says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." And that is my heart here, that the word may have free course to us, and that we would take the word of God that we have. We have it so freely here in this land, in this life, that we would use it as I titled this message, "Do All to the Glory of God." That is my heart. And I just want to say, brethren, if I shared anything that was not scriptural or wasn't right, I welcome to share it with me. But as I shared earlier, if you didn't get anything else out of this message, my heart was that you would hear my heart from the beginning, that whatever we do, it would be for God's glory. Not for man, not for ourselves, but for the glory of God. I want to say thank you, and God bless you.